forbidden and banned, the bane of bureaucrats, exposing mainstream media's weapons of mass distraction.
Flying under the radar and dropping truth bombs on tyranny.
It's Liberty Now.
Kia ora, hello, and welcome to Liberty Now, the podcast for discerning minds and common sense. We'll look beyond the headlines and false narratives of the dying, corrupt legacy media. We seek the truth, and we can think for ourselves. Thank you very much. Please be sure to hit subscribe to this show on your favorite podcast player app. And don't worry about taking notes while you listen. You can get all the links, files, and show notes for this episode at libertynow.com. Well, as you can plainly see or hear if you're just listening now, I am very much alive. Sorry, globalists. I still intend to be a pain in your ass for a long time, as long as I live. Speaking of which, you know who's not alive? Lord Jacob Rothschild, globalist and constant thorn in the public side, dead at 87. He is now with his Lord. If you believe a lot of what I've seen on the internet, and you know, I know you can't believe everything, but the evidence points towards him being quite corrupt and also a Satan worshiper. If you believe the pictures he's been seen posing with Marina Abramovich, who's a known Satanist. So I find that pretty interesting. But not too surprising. Anyway, let me welcome David Preston to the podcast. Say hello, David.
Hi, John.
Hey, David is a good friend of mine. We go to church together here in Christchurch, New Zealand, and he's been a good friend and also quite the entrepreneur. I wanted to bring David in today to talk about a little project that we've been working on together. Backing up just a little bit, if you're listening to this and you have come back to the podcast, first of all, let me say thank you very much for not abandoning all hope that I would come back. I've taken a very long, extended vacation, and we all need to take time off and recharge our batteries, as it were. But I have taken a long vacation back to the United States to sort of go and check out how things are going back there and see some family. Been away from the States for a long time, so it was really good to get back and see some friends and family there. And I did take note of the differences since the last time I was there. It was been a good 7 years. And going back to the Seattle area, I did see a lot more homelessness and a lot more buildings. It looks like they're making a mad rush building towards their 15-minute cities. The old neighborhood in Ballard, where I had my personal training studio, that building is gone. It's like a 10-story commercial and residential mix building. But the old little corner store shop that where we had the studio is long gone. But well, David, let me ask you this. Like, how, when you're driving around the city here in Christchurch, like, how often do you see police?
It's a bit of a mixed bag because I work out sort of at the edge of the northern edge of Christchurch. So we hear a few ambulances every day.
Yeah.
And a few other policemen as well. Yeah. So it seems pretty busy over my side of town.
Well, I have to tell you, my entire time in Seattle, and I also took a trip to Spokane while I was there, the other side of Washington, and I think I saw a patrol car once in each city. It was at the scene of an accident, but I saw no regular patrols on the freeway or in any of the neighborhoods. And you know, it sounds like all this talk of defunding the police is becoming a reality because it certainly was diminished. I just did not see them out there, which was, really surprising. And then couple that with the new laws that they've put into place. I think California, Washington, and Oregon now have on the books laws limiting or preventing store owners or staff, employees from pursuing or preventing the leaving of like shoplifters. So I think they've set it like at a limit. You can walk out of the store with up to $900 and some worth of merchandise and they can do nothing about it. They're pretty much helpless.
It shows a decline in society.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's just ludicrous. I didn't believe it. I hear talk about it, but then you start seeing these big box stores are just packing up and leaving. They can't afford to sustain those kind of losses. And I did see, we went to a Target store in Portland, Oregon, and I saw this big SUV out front with black tinted windows, and it said International Security on the side. And my immediate thought was like, oh my gosh, is this like UN troops? Like the blue helmets are already on the street here, you know, enforcing security.
In America.
Because you know, we've heard talk of that, you know, coming at some point. But I went in and I saw one of the security people there, and he was legit. I mean, he had his full like flak jacket on. He had a sidearm on and his taser gun and everything. And I chatted him up a little bit, and he said that they were a private security company based out of New Mexico, apparently, and they operate in a couple few major cities around the area. So it wasn't quite the UN yet. It was kind of the stuff of science fiction, like futuristic dystopian movies where, you know, there are no longer any police. It's all like private security. And apparently they're contracted out with the big box store. Maybe they can do something to inhibit or deter would-be thieves, but no cops. It was pretty wild.
No public security.
Yeah, yeah. So interesting times. You know, the way things are going, and, you know, I've said before I question the outcome of the election. So, you know, I won't be able to publish this on YouTube because I'll get another strike for that, just for saying that, even though in a free and democratic society, it is your right. It's expected that you know, you have the right to question the outcome of elections. And that's why I wanted to have you on here today, David, to talk about this little project. I don't think Americans realize, you know, how corrupt the system has become. I was thinking too, you know, the only thing worse than living under a corrupt authoritarian dictatorship with state-run propaganda posing as news is being under the illusion that you're not.
The illusion of freedom.
Yeah. I don't think most, the general public still, I mean, as awake as people are becoming, I don't think they realize that the system that they're living under. And well, that's a big reason why I'm doing this podcast and promoting it. You know, we need to speak up while we still have the ability to, and that's why I'm kind of happy to be flying under the radar. We're not, you know, the biggest podcast out there. But that also means that we're not quite on the hit list yet to get canceled. Although I did get kicked off the radio station, the local radio, public radio here, but that wasn't a big surprise. So yeah, just sort of the state of things. I do think that the right outcome in the upcoming American elections can have a big influence on how things go forward. And, you know, if you ask anybody on the left, you know, the last thing that they want is a Republican, least of all Donald Trump, who seems to be winning in all the primaries in the states, in Georgia, like five others. I don't have the list in front of me, but he's winning quite handily against the globalist rhino, Nikki Haley, who's being pushed as the Republican du jour that they want. But she doesn't seem to be able to stand a chance against Trump, even in her own state. On the Democrat side, I've been hearing talk about Michelle Obama being pushed in. I don't see any realistic scenario where Joe Biden is allowed to run again, even though he says he is. He's officially running as the incumbent for the Democrats. I don't think the Democrats, even most of them, would realistically want him. What do you think? What are you hearing, David?
Well, I think the question is if Joe Biden gets back in, right? who's
Game
going to
over.
take over as soon as, you know, they pull off the mask, right?
Right.
They get in with Joe Biden and then just change from the inside, I think.
Yeah. I just I he's just listening to him talk. I don't see how you can think he's even competent to even if you believe that he was legitimately elected. He's just been declining so much. It's hard to listen to him talk.
And Donald Trump said it best. It's not the problem with his age, it's with his mental competence, isn't it? You
Right.
know,
Yeah. I mean,
because
I think
Trump's
they're
not too much younger than him, right? And
right.
he's as sharp as a tack, right?
Oh
So
yeah. I've seen plenty of people, much older who are absolutely even, my dad, shout out to dad. He's 88 now, and his memory is still there. I mean, like he's remembering things from my childhood that I have forgotten. He's still 100% there. So yeah, it's not about age. It's just about he's in decline. And of course, so corrupt, he just doesn't belong there. But that aside, I don't think even his own party has any interest in letting him actually run. So there's been talk about Michelle Obama or maybe swapping, at the last minute, Hillary Clinton, God forbid. I just hope she stays under whatever rock she's under right now. The hierarchy, is supposed to be Kamala Harris. Nobody wants her, Democrat or Republican. I don't know how it's going to play out, but I even question whether there will be a 2024 election. What do you
Yeah,
think, David?
if they can't get someone in the view, you know, to be the next president, then like what else can they be planning,
Well,
right?
there are a number of scenarios that, if you listen to the World Economic Forum and, the meetings coming out of the Bilderberg Group and other globalists, they're talking about another, either another COVID pandemic, plandemic. Bill Gates has been talking about giggling about pandemic 2.0 or something worse, like that really will be deadly and wipe out millions of people, something like that, a black swan event, some kind of October surprise just before, everybody gets ready to go to the polls could disrupt the election and then give them the excuse to suspend the democratic process and
Yep.
install somebody else as a de facto dictator. There could be an EMP with the escalations that are happening with Russia and in the Middle East, trying to get Iran into the picture. We're looking at the very real possibility of a World War III escalating to a nuclear exchange. Something like that could cause, be an excuse to suspend the election. So, I mean, there's a number of things in play that it's just really hard to say. But I do think that there's, like a 50-50 shot that we don't have a normal election or an election at all. And just throwing this out there, this is kind of out of the blue, but my friend Tim, who lives in Illinois, just outside Chicago, is proposing J.B. Pritzker, governor of Illinois, being thrown into the ring as the Democrat nominee. And I hadn't considered that at all, but Tim was saying that he had recently attended a meeting at the World Economic Forum. And as we know, as we've seen, a lot of their young global leaders that have come out of there have indeed ended up in positions of power and in cabinet positions, or in the case of, like Jacinda Ardern or Trudeau, actually ended up as prime ministers. Who knows? Well, we will find out this year, won't we? Talking about being more regular on this podcast, it is tough when we're working full-time jobs and to keep up the pace with weekly podcasts. But one thing we are working on is to help fund this, because there are very real costs that go into keeping a podcast going with bandwidth and everything else, is We are working on a little project. I've alluded to this before in previous podcasts, and now I would like to announce, drum roll, Election Misdirection, a board game.
Great name.
Yeah. Based on the documentary 2000 Mules that talks about a lot of the shady background events that happened around the 2000 or the 2020 election. So David came up with this brilliant idea. Dave, why don't you talk a little bit about your inspiration for this, how you came about it, and a little bit about the game.
Yes. Yep. I thought it was very interesting, very entertaining too, like seeing how they figure how these people will carry false ballots through and sort of stuff the ballots so that, you know, one particular party will get more votes than they ought to.
Right.
And I think what particularly inspired me in that was to think about how they, like the systems that they use. And it made me think, well, what if we were playing a game and we could control our own mules to sort of sway an election?
Right.
And I thought that that would be quite a fun game. And so like a lot of other things have come forth from that since. And so we've got a whole system in this game of election misdirection where essentially you're playing, it's kind of like a mix between Risk and maybe a bit of Catan. And the idea is you vote, you play politics, and you answer state questions. And so by doing all those things, you'll hopefully come out on top, winning more states than your opponent, and by doing so, you win the election.
Yeah, and I thought it was great because you're educating people while they're having fun playing a game, learning about all the dirty tricks you can pull, you know, behind the scenes, whether or not you believe, you know, that actually goes on. It's really entertaining, and you're educating people about the actual Electoral College process. How you're, you know, collecting votes to represent your state. And yeah, I thought it was really fun. So you've built a prototype. We've got that together. And now the next step is to start printing enough of these and getting them out into the public. And it would be great if we can get these sent out there and distributed before the elections. Of course, I think it'll be a popular game perennially anyway. In fact, maybe David, how about this would be a good point to play our little teaser commercial we shot. And I'll just go ahead and play that video now.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States.
Please welcome the next president of the United States.
I am Al Gore. I used to be the next president of the United States.
The next president of the United States, Paul Ryan.
We are the next president of the United States.
In response to Secretary Clinton, I don't believe that she is qualified.
On her ideas and her leadership, Hillary Clinton must become the next president of the United States.
Every now and then, I'm known to make a mistake.
Qualified.
Welcome, citizen of the internet. Politics. It's become a bit of a circus. So we at Dominion Games had an idea. Why not turn the circus into a game? Introducing Election Misdirection, an exciting board game that simulates the US 2020 election, where you, yes you, and your friends, if you have any, can battle it out in a winner-takes-all, all-or-nothing race for the White House. This game has been specially crafted to reflect all the things that you love about American politics. Sending a busload of migrants on a one-way all-expenses-paid trip to Martha's Vineyard? How about big media? You might want to use them to send your opponent down Scandal Lane. However you like it, Jack, Election Misdirection's got it. It's got the voting. It's got the corruption. But most importantly, it's a game that celebrates 6 white stripes, 7 red stripes, and a hell of a lot of stars.
God save the Queen, man.
Yeah, God save the Queen.
So yeah, I hope you enjoyed that. We had a lot of fun putting that together. And if you would like to support this project and help expand this podcast, because this is going to help us to reach more viewers and listeners out there, we have set up a GiveSendGo page. I'll pull up the campaign page so you can see it. And that will be at givesendgo.com/election-misdirection. So yeah, that is our project. It's going to be a fun board game. It's going to be an educational tool to help teach people about the electoral process. And this particular election coming up in 2024, I think, is going to be one of the most consequential in American history, maybe in world history for a long time. What are your thoughts on that, David?
Well, I think what we saw in, what was it, 2016 was a great foreshadowing of things to come, the culture war that's brewing, and it's really come to a head. And I think sometimes we can easily think that it's past us. You know, we've dealt with some of these key issues, but there's still the foe ahead of us. And I think this election, while being a New Zealander, I think it's still very significant for the direction the world's going to go. So I'll be watching it.
Yeah, watch this space very closely. Awesome. And David, do you have a URL that we can send people to, or any other projects you're working on that you'd like to share?
Not at the moment. It's all handcrafted, homemade stuff.
Yeah.
At the moment. So just working on books, working on games, things like that to sort of build good culture. So that's all forthcoming.
I think we really do need to focus on, you know, trying to be a positive influence too. It's important to warn people, make them aware, let people know their house is on fire. Doesn't mean you're a bad guy for telling them that, but they need to know, they need to understand. And then we can act on it. Then we can do something. But if we're not aware of the problem in the first place, then there's not much hope of surviving it. Speaking of surviving, we talked about, you know, a few possible black swan events that could disrupt our day-to-day living. I mean, I think the first round with COVID-19 was just a small taste of things to come. What sort of things do you recommend, David, how people could prepare in the event of, you know, power outage, for example, like they've been talking about?
Well, something that's recently happened, we've had a huge fire on the Port Hills right next to the city. So mysteriously, I don't know how this connected, but a quarter of the city's power went out. It seems very suspicious.
Well, yeah, because the fire was up on the hills, like across the way. And the city is very far removed from there. I mean, you know, down in the lowlands in Christchurch City. I don't understand how that would have affected the power.
All of our electricity, yes. So we could see the smoke billowing and everything just shut off. And thankfully, my boss, he's a firefighter himself. And so he's very well prepared for these kind of scenarios. And so we've got workplace generators, and our forklift runs on LPG gas. So
excellent.
Sort of relying on things other than pure electricity is very helpful in those scenarios. And we're able to set back up our shop like instantly because we had that while other shops suffered.
Right.
So it was good to be well prepared like we were.
Yeah. Well, and just recently we heard even over here, I don't know if you heard, David, that there was a massive cell phone outage in the US AT&T lost pretty much their entire network. So they were without communications for, it was a day or two. I don't remember how long it was, but it was a pretty widespread outage. But it highlights the need for communications, because in any kind of emergency power outage, phone outages, you know, people tend to panic when they don't have information. And I think it's a good time right now to be proactive and start thinking about how are you going to communicate with people in the event of an emergency. And they've been, we've got some groups here in New Zealand around Christchurch that have been very proactive about that. And I'm part of a CB radio club, and we've been practicing just on weekends, that we just appoint a time on Sunday night when we're just going to all get on our radios and test communications. And they're getting really well organized too, because each local hub that's within the reach of our, you know, Citizens Band radios is in communications with another hub through a longer range radio. And then those hubs are going to be able to connect to ham radio operators who are going to be able to communicate off continent too, into other countries. So we'll be able to get, you know, not just news about what's going on locally, but in, you know, between countries as well. So I highly recommend people start thinking about that. And also just simple things like gardening. You know, we saw with COVID-19, like grocery shelves were getting a little bit sparse, either because of closures or just, you know, running out of things on the shelves. And it's fun to garden anyway. You know, it's a good, healthy activity. Any final thoughts, David, on prepping?
Well, it just sort of brought to mind, you know, it's really important to have community.
Yes.
And, sort of, you can use your phones and things like that, but to actually have in-person friends, in-person family, a community that you're a part of. Like, we're part of our church community, and people have lots of different communities that they're a part of. People actually know you, people actually who care about you, and that's really important. That, like, goes the extra mile, especially in emergency situations.
Right.
They might have food for you, and they'll give it to you because they love you.
Right.
And I think that's a really important thing to invest in, more than anything else, maybe.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that's one of the things that I've pointed out before. There is a group called Voices for Freedom. Anybody that outside of Christchurch, or actually New Zealand, they're pretty much countrywide now. If you'd like a good example of organizing people into their individual pods and community groups and neighborhood groups, and connecting people with a common purpose for preparing for things like this, I recommend you go online and look up Voices for Freedom in New Zealand. They're doing a bang up job of getting the communications out there. Some wise advice, I would say, in these times. All right. Well, Dave, thanks again for coming on the podcast. And with that, I will just say, be good, folks. Do the right thing and keep asking questions. Have a good one.